giri vada dhadi Gopi jana bala ba giri vada dhadi Jasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Jasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yamuna tira bhana chadi Yamuna tira bhana chadi Nandana, Braja Jana Nandana Yamuna Tira Bhana Chadi Yamuna Tira Bhana Chadi Paramahamsa Parivijagacharya Astachara Sattasi Srimad His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaura Premananda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Text 34, Canto 2, Chapter 2 Bhagavan Brahmakarsnyena
Bhagavan Brahmakarsnyena
Trir Aviksha Manishaya Tadaya vasyat kutasto Ratir atman yato bhavet
Ratir atman yato bhavet
Bhagavan brahmakarsnyena
Bhagavan brahmakarsnyena
Trir anviksha manishaya Tad-adyavasyat kutasto Ratir atma yato bhavet
Ratir atma yato bhavet
Bhagavan-brahma-karsena
Tad-adyavasyat kutasto
Bhagavan Brahma Karsnyena
Tri
Andiksha Manishaya Bhagavan, the great personality, Brahma.
The great personality, Brahma.
Brahma, the Vedas.
Karshnyena,
for summarization.
Trihi,
three times.
Anviksha,
scrutinizingly examined. Manishaya, with scholarly attention. Tat, that. Adyavasyat,
ascertained it.
Kutastaha,
with concentration of the mind.
Ratihi, attraction.
Atman,
Atmani, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
Yattaha,
by which?
Bhavet,
it so happens.
Translation, the great personality Brahma with great attention and concentration of the mind studied the Vedas three times. And after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. Rati Atman. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami is referring to the highest Vedic authority, Lord Brahma, who is the qualitative incarnation of Godhead. The Vedas were taught to Brahmaji in the beginning of the material creation, although Brahmaji was to hear Vedic instruction directly from the personality of Godhead in order to satisfy the inquisitiveness of all prospective students of the Vedas. Brahmaji, just like a scholar, studied the Vedas three times, as generally done by all scholars. He studied with great attention, concentrating on the purpose of the Vedas. And after scrutinizingly examining the whole process, he ascertained that becoming a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the topmost perfection of all religious principles. And this is the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita directly presented by the Personality of Godhead. The Vedic conclusion is thus accepted by all acharyas. And those who are against this conclusion are only Veda Vada Ratas, as explained in Bhagavad Gita 2.42. Short purport. This verse is a restatement of the previous verse. Shukadev Goswami made a statement, his conclusion, and now he's supporting his conclusion by Brahma's conclusion. Same message as the previous verse. What's that same message? It's the language is different, but the rati, this attraction, rati, atman, attraction unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the highest principle, highest perfection of religion. The indirect and direct was the message before, and the direct is superlative, and the evidence or the symptom, the characteristic of that absorption in devotion to the Personality of Godhead is attraction for Him. Attraction for Him. We'll spend some time on attraction for Him topic. What Prabhupada is discussing in the purport is the direct experience, which is the message of the first, was the direct experience of Brahma, indicated here in the beginning of creation. Brahma had the Supreme Lord directly speak or otherwise reveal within his heart. Same. I mean, the medium sounds different, but it's, we can hear something and not understand it, may not touch our heart. In Brahma's case, he understood it. And as is characteristic of a learned person, he studied it. Now, it wasn't in a written form, so how did he study it? He studied it as those who don't have to read books study things, by... That was interesting. So the qualifiers are manishaya, with scholarly attention, andiksha, scrutinizingly examining, and kutastha, concentration of the mind. It's kind of similar. There's shades of differences. Concentration of the mind, kutastha. We find that phrase elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. Kutastha. So he's Brahmana, a learned Brahmana, and kutastha. He's concentrating the mind on that sound vibration. And while concentrating the mind with scholarly attention, manisha, his focus, we heard in the purport, is what's the purpose? And if one isn't focused on the purpose, one can get lost in the detail, because there's a zillion details. And one may be attracted to this detail or attracted to that detail. A nice explanation that Prabhupada gives of yetam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham is mamavart manavartante. So those who, Prabhupada's explanation, everyone has a leader, and leaders have followers. And some persons like leaders because it resonates with their thinking, and therefore they select a leader. And different people have, and their thinking, Prabhupada's explanation, quoting the scripture, is based on lust. It lust in the sense of a desire to be the enjoyer of objects out there. And those that have a view that's the best way to enjoy objects out there, they take a leader. And then there's different leaders because there are different lusts, varieties. And the Vedas also recognize they're different persons with modes of nature. And according to the modes of nature, we heard this yesterday, there's ways of elevating those persons to the platform of self-realization. So there's lots, that's where the diversity arises from. Diversity. Now there's details even within branches of diversity. The Vedas are vast. Phew. Mentioned this the other day. Take any topic and go to Sankhya, and where's the bottom of that ocean? Or anything. Just keep going and going. Music, keep going and going. Cosmology, keep going and going. Where's the bottom? Like, so involved. But what's the purpose? So as Brahma was scrutinizing me, on Viksha, studying very meticulously, his attention was not just to the detail, although the detail was known, the attention was going to the purpose. And he concludes, the verse is saying, after three times careful study, there's one purpose. What's that? Ratir Atman Yato Bhavet. That by which one comes to the stage of attraction for the personality of Godhead. That by which one comes to the platform of attraction for the personality of Godhead. Now the attraction for in the indirect methods, there's a glimmer, you know, maybe in a distance, a glimmer of the absolute beyond the temporary. So some persons are attracted to the temporary, but higher grades of temporary. Followers of the Vedas, that is. Higher grades of the temporary. Some persons want the lower grades of the temporary by the modes of nature. But the Vedas are to lift that lower attraction to the higher attraction. And in the background, we've heard so many times, I'm thinking of this example that Prabhupada so often gives, we've heard so many times this example of a mountain, and then there's, from a distance, what does a mountain look like? And it's true, from a distance a mountain looks like, you're not sure what it is, looks like a cloud on the horizon. You get closer, using Prabhupada's words, you see something green. That's the trees on the mountain. So it's not just a cloud on the horizon, it's something else. You get closer, and then you enter into the mountain, and then you see the variety. And the animals and the birds and the varieties of trees and insects and people, you know, and cabins and residential places. And you go inside the residential places and you meet mom and dad and the kids and Fido. And the dinner on the table. And so there's variety in the personal conception, and the personal conception is where the platform of rati comes. And prior to rati, it's somewhat dutiful or prescribed. I like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of, you know, the four types of pious people, but it doesn't say exactly like that. It's four ways by which persons take up spiritual life. And the final two is duty, it's dharma. Persons that want elevation follow dharma. There's some other incentives. They want something. But they follow Dharma because there is some faith that Dharma is going to get them the something that they want. And so they do it dutifully, and then gradually some sakkama to nishkama to, as we were discussing yesterday, to, you know, what's the purpose? The purpose is not just get what you want without so much entanglement or become free from the desire to get stuff, but that keep going. It's not just freedom from entanglement, it's attachment to the person, attachment to the Supreme Person, or rati here is attraction. And then when there's attraction, bhakti begins, or spontaneous attraction begins, because it's resting on a person. So a practical consideration is, Pandava Nirjala Kadashi. So we're all going to be doing something today, most likely increasing, along with the fasting, increasing something, just as this nice quote was read from Nectar of Devotion, increasing hearing and chanting. And so hearing and chanting can be on the platform of, I do the hearing and chanting, today is Nirjala Ekadasi, so I know it's an auspicious day, and it's a really, really good day, beneficial, so many times beneficial, to do hearing and chanting today. So I'm going to ramp up my hearing and chanting, because it's good for me. This is devotional service in goodness. I do something because it's good for me, or it's to be done. It's recommended. It's dutiful. It brings benefit. There's still something that's, you know, what's in it for me, me-centeredness. But, you know, it's devotional service where Krishna is the objective, but it's not as strong as when this rati stage comes, where it's with attraction. Now, attraction isn't the final stage. Rati is not the final stage, but it's a very elevated stage. It's quite different than distraction. And we all know that distraction type of chanting or etc., devotional practices, so it's good to do those things that you can stay absorbed in because you're attracted. But then a little introspection. What is it that helps me get absorbed? Like, you know, younger generation people, and for that matter, older generation people, really like kirtan. And there's nothing wrong with liking kirtan. But I asked one kirtanier yesterday, which do you like more, kirtan or japa? No hesitation, kirtan. And there's something about kirtan. It's something wonderful about kirtan. But there's also, you know, the interpersonal and the musicality of it and other features, without going into it too much. You know, music is universal. What culture is there that doesn't have culture as its basis? As its basis. And dancing. Just a little sharing. In China, those of you that haven't been to China, a little China sharing with you. It's very common in the evening hours when coming home from a program, over there in the park, there's a lot of people and they're playing some music and they're dancing. They're not chanting Hare Krishna, but they're doing a cultural thing that's very attractive. Music and dancing are very attractive. So guessed that they really like Hare Krishna Kirtan. It resonates. In just keep going with that a little bit. Common forums for public outreach in China is yoga studios. And one of the first things, just to get, you know, the mood going, is some nice kirtaniers having melodious kirtan. Sweet. And then talented kirtaniers, they know when to increase the tempo. And, you know, the mridanga player and the whole thing starts. So I've seen it many times. They'll stand and they'll start to do all the dance things like the ISKCON devotees do. You know, with their hands and go this way. And then no one trained them. It wasn't like Indradumna Swami choreographing something in a, you know, festival in Poland. It's just very natural. So the attraction for music and dance is natural. And then how to elevate, there's nothing, it's wonderful, nothing wrong with that. The essence, however, that's an expression in the transcendental stage, it's an expression of what's being spoken of in this morning's verse. There's an attraction for the person. And the person and the name are non-different. And a nice meditation for those of you that are planning to increase your chanting today, contemplate this morning's verse and the purpose of our increasing our chanting is to come to that stage where there's attraction, where the mind just goes. In Kapila Dev's answer to Devahuti's question, bhakti is pure, keeping it simple. Bhakti is pure, well, what about the modes? Can somebody that's in the modes practice bhakti? Sure. And then bhakti in ignorance, bhakti in passion, bhakti in goodness. And the transcendental bhakti is like the Ganges flowing. The mind just goes. As soon as there's sound, the mind just goes. As soon as there's subject, the topic of Krishna, the mind just goes. You know, this very nice example from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Pundarik Vidyanidhi was appreciated by Mukunda because they came from the same place, that he's a very elevated Vaishnava, and he persuaded his good friend Gadadhar to come see him. And Gadadhar went to see him and he saw a materialist outside. And the description of what he saw was like, why did he bring me here? You know I have no attraction for, because he was very detached, very, from childhood, very renounced. So Mukunda knew his mind, and so he started singing a verse from the Bhagavatam. And just hearing the verse from the Bhagavatam, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's mind did just like Kapila Dev says, one who's in the transcendental position, his mind just flowed to Krishna. Not just because Mukunda was good at singing, but the object, the attraction for the object. And, you know, he began exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. He fell from his seat and rolled on the ground and knocked over everything, and Gadadhar was understanding. He's not a materialist. He was concealing, for some reason, maybe purposefully, concealing his higher identity. So that's the goal. It's not the goal is to roll on the ground. The goal is to have attraction for the personality of God. And whatever symptoms are exhibited or not exhibited, the goal is the mind So we go back to where we are. There's the practice. And the practice is the mind goes to Krishna. Just a little, another little sharing. I mentioned, I benefited a lot from reading and speaking on Madhashiksha. Madhashiksha, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary on the book, it's a padati. It's a padati. It's a padati. It's a step-by-step process of coming to the stage of rati, or full absorption, transcendental absorption in Radha and Krishna. An internal process. So I mentioned this the other day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's an external or exoteric process that was taught by Swarup Damodar for Kreshra Pandit. And he doesn't mention, but anyway, Dhyana Chandra also wrote such a padati on the esoteric process. And one of those verses in this esoteric, exoteric process is very simple. The mind absorbed in the name absorbed in the mind, come to that stage when you're chanting the holy name. The function of the mind in relation to the object brings the absorption of the object in relation to the mind. It's reciprocation. The bhakti process is reciprocation. So back to the verse. Brahma, after careful study three times, all the Vedas, which he received directly from Krishna, reached the conclusion that the purpose, final purpose of all the Vedas of life and in all directions to life is to come to this stage where there's this absorption of the mind in attraction for the object. So the extra reading that you do, or the extra japa that you do, or the extra kirtan that you do, or the extra anything that you do because it's an auspicious day, try to externally or internally strive for that stage where it's absorption. There's obstacles. The obstacles are desires, that, you know, desires to be the enjoyer apart from Krishna desires. And so the mind goes here and there. Maybe some of you will be chanting a good number of extra rounds. One of the experiences when chanting a good number of extra rounds, I was with Raja Bihari during this Memorial Day weekend because we had an event and he was with us. And he shared with me during the Bhishma Panchika, so 5 days of auspicious days, he just kind of took days off from work and went to a place apart from where there's, you know, stuff going on, and switched off his phone and just chanted japa. I asked him how many rounds. And he was shy to tell me how many rounds. He said, minimum 64 for 5 days. I didn't ask him. He would have told me, but I didn't ask him how many more than 64. And so I asked him what was the experience. I'm sharing this because of today and what you may be doing today, or maybe you weren't going to do it, maybe you will. What was your experience? And it was really short. He said, the first 16 were difficult. Everything after that was easy. There's something about numerical chanting, something about what it takes to become attracted. It's not spontaneous devotional service, but become attracted. So you're looking forward to more japa as opposed to the regulative, dutiful because it's good for me. It's medicine. I take my medicine, although I don't have that appeal for the medicine. But the lack of appeal, we know from Rupa Goswami's teaching, it's, he likens it, you've heard this many times, he likens it to a jaundice condition where rock candy tastes bitter for someone who has jaundice. But keep taking it because that's the medicine, that's the practice stage, and then the sweetness comes because the disease is cured. So numerical chanting can also have a disease cure effect. It's sustained over time, but even on special days, like today. So I'm just like an advertisement, a promotion. Kabe habi bolo se dina mar. When will we have that taste? But the effort showing Krishna that I want to make this effort to become attracted to you. Please draw my mind to you. Please help me. Please purify. Please empower. And in that prayerful mood, I mean, yesterday was crying, but you know, prayerful mood of calling out, as opposed to the, you know, the dutiful, the yearning, and you know, keep going, and then becomes strong hankering, and then it becomes greed, and so forth. But we're not there yet. But just call out. Krishna, you're all attractive. This is Rabindra Swarup Prabhu. But I'm distracted. And I'm distracted by distractions. And I'm just, my mind is distracted by the distractions of the distractions. And I'm not attracted. This is expression. But you're all attractive. So please attract my distracted mind, which means, you know, the desires to come to you. Please attract my mind to you. And by that appeal, proportionate to, again, Prabhupada's language, proportionate to our reaching out that way, Krishna will reciprocate. It may not be, you know, snap our fingers and Krishna jumps. It may not be immediate. But if that's the if that's a consistent attitude, regard in our relationship, because the bhakti process is a relationship. That's how this rati is established, by relationship. Without relationship, what is it? It's dutiful. But with relationship, it brings one purification and attraction to the relationship with Krishna. So, please attract me to you, because you're all attractive. And I'm distracted. I need your mercy. So, those are some thoughts on this morning's verse. Let's see if there's some discussion. I see a hand up in the back.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Two quick points. At the beginning, the Vedas, it was in nutshell verses. It was not divided, right? It was in nutshell verses, and it was like in Shabda, sung. So when it says like he studied all the Vedas, you know, I mean, even though it was concise and in that form, was it like, how it is today? I mean, it, remember, it's divided into four and it's expanded and elaborated and things like that, you know. So that's one point you could comment on. And the other one is, you were talking about dancing.
Let's do one at a time.
Okay.
You have a good memory. I don't.
Okay.
Sound, other learned devotees present or maybe online can comment differently. or embellish. Sound need not be only concise, because concise sound can be unpacked. And whatever, I wasn't there, but whatever Brahma heard was full. So how that manifests, it's described, the four Vedas were manifest from the mouths of Brahma. Now, Vyas divided them. There was one Veda, but from the mouths of Brahma, the four Vedas manifest. Then it's in sound. And those that heard, you know, Dvivedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi, of course, that's after Vyas divided, but it's in divisions. The Vedas are in divisions, and there's mantras. Go back to the explanation I gave yesterday from Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha. The Brahmanas previously were able to, if knowing what is the sankalpa of the person who they were assisting in their brahminical service, they had a desire, they had some intention, they went to a Brahmana to help fulfill that intention. They just went to the treasury box and they knew which mantras to select. So there was diversity before the Vedas were divided, is my point. And then Vyas divided, according to, you know, make it easier for Kali Yuga Brahmanas, in four divisions. So I'm not sure, the premise of your question is complete. That is, he just heard some, like, sutras. There may have been sutras, I don't know, but the fullness was also there because Brahma had the capacity to understand and unpack even, short sound vibrations. He was vastly capable and manifested them in sound.
Nice. Yeah, thank you. The other point was, you were talking about dancing. And I know I always dance in kirtan all the time, really. But after my legs broke, I can't move like before. You know, and every time I come in kirtan, I know I miss something, you know, but, you know, I
so your heart, you know, can dance. That's how.
Yeah.
With whatever resource Krishna gives and whatever resource Krishna takes away, the bhakti principle he won't. Okay?
Thank you.
Very nice class, Maharaj. Thank you. I want to have a little more clarity on in three classes you mentioned some or other repeated the same thing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's opinion on Sarva Damodar Goswami's contribution in our movement. There is a two path. And you translate as a esoteric and exoteric,
yes.
Or antapanika. And in your explanation now, you said putting mind in the holy name in the mind. So my question was, there is a famous verse, Rupa Goswami Pad quotes, more details on that, manasangharanam, saucham, maunam, mantrartha, chintanam, abhigratam anivedha japa sampatti hetava was the definition of japa or chanting. And he gave this same thing. So I was wondering, like, why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm not judging Maharaj, just curious, why not mention Rupa Goswami Pad giving the credit to Swarup Damodar for that? That's one. And second point is Bhajana Nandi versus Goshta Nandi, that
can we do one at a time? Because your memory is good and mine isn't. The second one is connected directly to the first one, or it's a separate point?
I mean, it's interconnected.
Okay, let me do the first one, then you can do the second one. You're asking what was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's intention in making this distinction and not mentioning Rupa Goswami. This is my understanding. You know, a more learned person than me might conclude differently. He's commenting on a book that was written by Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was entrusted directly by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srup Damodar. Srup Damodar instructed, as Mahaprabhu requested him, he instructed him in everything. 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 I mean, the duration of time that Raghunath Das Goswami was in Puri was those final years when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his external detachment, internal absorption, and Srup Damodar understood everything because he was reciting verses or singing to complete. So, and he explained everything to Raghunath Das. So how did Raghunath Das feel towards Srup Damodar? It's right in Manushiksha. He mentions three. Raghunath Das mentions Sarup, Rupa, and Sanatana Goswami and their followers, plural. So Sarup is an important, mega important person in the formation of Raghunath Das Goswami's realizations and in turn his writings. And so why Bhaktivinoda Thakur made that emphasis is because of that reason. Now, on what basis did he give the preamble, the saying that Srup Damodar gave two, exoteric, esoteric, I don't know. But because the padatis came from those two, from Raghunath Das and from Dhyanachandra Goswami, and the source was Srup Damodar. It doesn't exclude, you know, it doesn't exclude Rupa Goswami. It's tracing these padatis, because that's what they are, padatis. In his explanation, at least. The very strong, now, did Raghunath Das Goswami have similar, if not, you know, greater appreciation, attachment, affection for Rupa Goswami? One could make an argument like that. Equal to or greater than? Because Rupa Goswami is Rupa Goswami. And Srup Damodar is Srup Damodar, and they had both had incredible impact on his devotional perfection. My understanding is why Bhaktivinoda made that emphasis is because both wrote padatis, and the source of those padatis were those two persons. Okay.
I was thinking that when Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj's slokas, Manayo Devo, Vimukti Maninam, and Prabhupada relate, seems like his life, what Prahlad Maharaj demonstrated, that I'm not those kind of sage who goes for liberation in the forest. I rather want to be in the midst of the suffering people and uplift, give them Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
And it seems like Prabhupada relating his life also.
Yes.
Okay, so this is Goshtanandi, what I understand.
Yes.
Okay. But what the exoteric, that I'm not mentioning anybody's name, even some of ISKCON member when that came, and they think that that is actually the real exoteric. Can you give a little clarity more?
I'll give a little, not much. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew both. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave emphasis to the internal, the esoteric. An example was annually, for some period of time, Bhaktisiddhanta did Braj Mandal Parikram, and at least the history goes, when staying at Radhakund, every evening he spoke on Ishopanishad. And after several days of speaking on Ishopanishad, he then mentioned this other exoteric process, but then indicated that's the jewel of our sampradaya, but persons are not qualified. So there are persons not qualified who are following the exoteric, but weren't qualified, and therefore misleading themselves and others. So his emphasis was on the internal or esoteric process, so that one can then become qualified for this jewel of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. That's one explanation. And you know, we should similarly be cautious, because persons not qualified trying to do something can, it can be very distracting, disturbing for one's progress in bhakti life. Therefore, better emphasis on the internal purification, cultivation, removal of obstacles, then coming to the jewel. Not to say that only one is a jewel and both are not jewels, but master the internal jewel before attempting the external. That's small understanding. Something else on the Bhagavatam?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, just in Pand Govinda Prabhu's question and your answer, I'm a little at a loss. Could you please explain better what you mean when you say the exoteric jewel?
I'm a rookie, so I can't do too much, but I can do, you know, a rookie's job of explaining. There are many. I only glanced at it, so I can't say in an in-depth and definitive way, but there are procedures. There are things that you do on a daily basis. That's the exoteric or external. You do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, you do this, it takes all day to do this and do that, and then the next day you do this and do that. And it's helpful to awaken the goal, which is loving attraction for Radha and Krishna exclusively.
Thank you. Because the reason I was confused, because Pran Govinda Prabhu first mentioned Bhajan Anandi and Ghosti Anandi, so I was thinking exoteric, external means the preaching.
No, that's not the intention of those two distinctions.
Okay.
One is internal qualification, and the other is doing something daily, throughout the day, this and that, and that's the external or exoteric for purpose of it. You know, it's the Bhajan Anandi process.
Okay.
That's the Bhajan Anandi process.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And I have a comment about how you were in the beginning, in the purport, how Prabhupada was telling that Lord Brahma three times scrutinizingly studied all the Vedas, and then he became aware of what is the actual goal. And I was remembering one of my favorite Prabhupada little anecdotes is when he was in Hawaii, and he had that dictating machine that counted in numbers, and in the morning someone said, "How many digits did you do last night?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh, I can translate very quickly, but it takes great concentration how to present it for the common people." Because I know when I read Krishna book, the very, you know, straight out of like raw, basically hippie life, I knew, no, I don't want to go to any heavenly planet. You know, I want to go to where they love Krishna.
And
just from reading Prabhupada's Krishna book.
Yeah, good. You had something up front here? It's almost 9 o'clock, I think we'll just end with this. Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice class. My question is on attraction towards distraction. And attraction happens, at least for my, in my case, due to two reasons, desire and duties. I understand desire we need to control by japa or something, but duties are there, and sometimes that causes distraction.
Not sometimes.
So, yes. So how to balance, or what is that answer?
It's not a balance. I'm almost interrupting you. Not balanced. A or B? I'll just say it again. A or B? I'm going to give you a multiple choice, A or B. For the best performance of your duties, A, while chanting, spend lots of time on thinking about planning your day and how to do your duties nicely. Or B, hit the pause button, absorb yourself in just one thing. Absorb yourself in just one thing, the holy name, and your relationship with Krishna being made available through the holy name. And then when that's over, then you hit release the pause button and you go to your duties. And which is going to be more effective in your day-to-day, which is speak of long-term, but your that day, what's going to be more effective? Devotees, once upon a time I had more discretionary time than I do now, or at least I designed things differently, or whatever. And it was a common thing to have people send me a sadhana report. And some people did it, and then they kept doing it. Some people didn't do it, and some people started and then got distracted. So, those that did it consistently had a realization. The days when I chant very nicely, the day goes very smoothly, and there's lots of clarity in how to conduct myself. And the days when the chanting is distracted or interrupted, the day is very rough. So that's a lesson. And, you know, it's good for all of us because it's really easy to have multi-tracks going on instead of one. You know, the duty track while chanting and planning your day and, you know, anything but the name. Lamenting over the past and planning the future. Instead of, in Gurijan's language, one mantra at a time. This stay absorbed, the mind absorbed in the name absorbed in the mantra. Excuse me, the name absorbed in the mind. Mind absorbed in the name absorbed in the mind.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna.